do some cross training, right? You have your really good goalie and then cross train. If that goalie is not here on vacation, stand here, let ball hit you in the face to prevent a goal if you need, right? I'm using a funny example, but do some cross training so that you are not so vulnerable, okay? So it doesn't mean you're not gonna be vulnerable at all. So do some cross training of different team members.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry look like to you? I'm Katie Polson, a dental hygienist and your host. Welcome to another episode of Growth in Dentistry. I'm so happy that you're here.
I am too.
That's Curtis Marshall that you hear if you're just listening today. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you to join our Facebook Dental Intelligence community. Come join like-minded data nerds and learn from one another. And would you be so kind to go and rate and review our podcast? I personally read every one of them and I enjoy doing it. So go ahead and do that for us. I'd like to introduce again, my co-host today is Curtis Marshall. He's been with me lots of times before and I'm glad to have him again with me today. He's
hopefully
my good buddy.
A few more times in the future if she'll have me.
I don't know. It's debatable. And he's going to introduce our guest today, which is so exciting.
Well, I mean, what? Nacho! if you don't know about Paul Goodman yet, I'm sorry. First off, he is everything Philly has ever wanted. He's born, right? I think born there, right?
I'm in the Northeast. I started in New Jersey, but I spent the last two decades in Philly. So it's my home.
So yeah, it's home's Philly. I mean, Ben Franklin's from there. He went to Ben Franklin School. Everything about Philadelphia is Paul Goodman. He is a dentist. He's acquired and sold and owns practices. He is everything dental, and what he's done is really wrap that around a dental nacho brand. He's got the Guacamole Club. I may have killed that a little bit, but he's got a lot of different scenarios surrounding nachos, and we're really excited to have him on today to discuss what growth in dentistry looks like to Paul Goodman.
Yeah, exciting. It's very exciting for me, especially since as just, you know, a very new hygienist, I've been following Dental Nachos for a very long time.
If you're not following him yet, go on Facebook and Instagram and all that.
So this is like, as a dental nerd, this is a big deal for me. So I'm really excited. So we're continuing our conversation on team member troubles, which we are so lucky to be able to have you because with over 35,000 followers on Dental Nachos, your podcast, your team management of your own practices and your training of people, your exposure to the staffing dilemma is probably greater than a lot of other dentists out there. And I'm sure you have a lot to validating points to give to us. So given your diverse background and your extent of interaction with people all over the country, what are your overall impressions of team member troubles that you have? Like, what do you think is causing it?
Great question. Really glad to be here. I got to meet Curtis in person. I hope to get to meet you in person, Katie. Much as I've done on Facebook, face-to-face is really my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that we have this blended world of being able to talk on Zoom, but also meet in person. And I think it's such a great topic. I want to start off, I'm usually thought of as very positive. So I'd like to start off with my failed dreams in life. So my parents told me I could do anything. But I wanted to dunk a basketball and I couldn't do that. So mom and dad, you had lied to me because you can't be anything you want to be. I wanted to play in the NBA. I love the Sixers, love Dr. J. And the reason I'm using this as an example is if you think of teams like sports, I played a lot of sports growing up from basketball, soccer, and football. My daughter's playing soccer right now. All these sports take a tremendous amount of skill to play, but the team aspect of them is all different. So in soccer, if you don't have a goalie, you can just say, hey, Curtis, stand in goal and try not to let the ball go through. And that's better than not having a goalie at all. But in football, if we ask you to hold the snap for a field goal, you could mess up the entire operation if you don't line up right. So football is an incredibly complex sport. Soccer is more simplistic for more people to play. The reason with team member troubles I find is that we are more like a football team. Mm. You need like 11 people who know all these specific things to make the world go. And I think dentists, you know, it's kind of a popular term, gaslighting, right? They gaslight dentists and say, just hire someone with a great personality. But well, they have a great personality and no idea what they're doing. So that's not helpful to us in moving forward. And over the pandemic, we have lost experienced team members in my office for a variety of reasons, some poignant, some health challenges, some have to stay home with their family, some realize that dentistry wasn't for them anymore. One thing I'd like to share in this moment is, I don't know why we judge so much when people change careers from dentistry and not in other fields. People go from being a lawyer to a chef, they write books about it. Someone leaves the dental industry and we think it's like a failure, right? We're some weird cult, right? So I don't think it should be that way. So I think we should be authentic in how, if our team members move on, good, bad, indifferent, poignant, we have to deal with it now on our football team. So I think the trouble has come from not having our experienced trained people from front desk, hygienists, and dental assistants, especially dental assistants in my life, as the trouble. So that's my long-winded Paul answer of, we're a football team and we got a lot of positions that require a lot of specific skill and they're hard to onboard.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It really is. I speak to that a lot because as a hygienist, and I speak about this a lot to other hygienists, my role is not just to scrape crap off of people's teeth all day. I mean, I answer phones. I get people numb. I do everything there and in between. And it's taken, 20 years of working in the industry to be able to really know how to do all of that. You know what I mean? And so
on top of that, I was one of those guys that the dentist said, hey, you got a good
personality,
decent personality. come work in our dental office and help us take care of the patients. Right. And from that though, I really grabbed on and understood what treatment was.
Yeah.
Found out that sealants are not just for kids.
Yeah.
Realized all this information. And it's okay for the dental industry to bring that in, but if someone leaves, we outcast them. Super interesting.
I really like that.
What that tells me, if that's what's happening, is that we can't improve ourselves if I'm worried about what Katie's going to do.
There's a lot of insecurity part of it. I don't know why. I mean, there's a lot of weaknesses I have in life. My wife will tell you all about them. I lose my AirPods while I'm wearing them. I can't cook anything. I can't put things together. I don't know technology that well. People don't understand that. My team has to do it, but I'm try to be a non-judgmental person is how I was raised as much as I can. And, I just think that this is a time in earth that's so challenging. And the more we can support people, the better. And we don't, what's good for one person, good for another. So if someone's a dentist, they want to now become a broker, someone's a hygienist, and they now want to try working for Dental Intel, we should just support them in that journey. But also like our self-interest is, but so here's, I'm not that good of a person. You want to know why? So one of the worst things that happened to me over the pandemic, our amazing babysitter, Morgan, okay, she worked with us 3 days a week. She helped us through the pandemic because we had little house on the kitchen table. My wife's homeschooling our six-year-old, my three-year-old. I got to take her out of the house and sing and listen to the Frozen soundtrack. So Morgan was like an angel in our lives. She worked with us for 6 months, 3 days a week. So she comes to me, us in May of 2021 and said, hey guys, I really want to expand my network. I've been from Philadelphia. I've decided at age, I think 23, I'm going to move to San Diego and make some new friends and try a new career. And I said, oh man, Morgan, I think San Diego's closed. You can't go there. Because I had so much self-interest, right?
Yeah.
So what's also crazy, so I want to make sure I'm giving the context right. As a general, we shouldn't shout out, don't leave dentistry, but I understand the self-interest because if my hygienist came to me tomorrow and said, I want to start baking bread, I said, why don't you do that next year, right? We still need you for a year. Because I had self-interest in Morgan staying and she's still amazing. She came with us to the dental festival, but she went to live her best life, but left us with a weak position in our family dynamic, which was hard to fill. So I also want to make sure that it's not like I just look at it in this hokey way, live your best life, because I know if my dental assistant came to me and needed to leave, which has happened, it's incredibly disruptive to the team on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I think the more we talk about this, like you guys are doing, is really important.
Yeah. I love that you said that. As you were talking, I was thinking about like watching my dad train up an assistant who he loved. Right. And they got you get to a certain point where you're like, you don't even have to think, they just know what you need.
Yeah.
And then they move on. It affected him at home, it affected every part of his day. And it's hard to continue to hire people and invest in them as a person and really want to love them and be a good boss again and again and again, knowing they're just going to leave to move on to greener pastures. It's heart-wrenching. So
that is hard, but with a small curveball here for both in the both these scenarios, how often do we hear, you can't run this practice without me?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's almost like the owners or managers in the, within the practice at times either feel like, oh, you can't leave, or, oh, I can't let you go.
Yeah.
At the same token. Right. So really interesting. You don't see that in many other industries, but dental.
It's there's a general term. I don't like when people use dramatic terms to assign things that are non-dramatic. So when people say hold someone hostage. I read Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, and he was
one of
a
my favorites. Yeah.
So I don't like when people pretend like hold someone hostage. When you really talk about that, we're talking about some very serious life and death issues.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a front desk team member asking for a $2 raise, right? That's not hostage, right? So, but there is this. You know, this, I've said, people go, oh, I treat my team like family. They say that, right? I treat my team like family. You're from a dental family and I'm from a dental family. I say, okay, you guys fight after 5 days of being together, because that's what we do on vacation. And I say that in a funny way, because the family dynamic, sometimes people just romanticize. I treat them like family. Well, sometimes me and my brother are angry with each other. Or sometimes when my dad was alive, we would have arguments, and we would have them with the context of foundation of love and respect. But I wanted to just bring this up as we move forward, that I believe more people should be able to test out what it feels like to be in the dental industry before they sign up long-term. Mm-hmm. And I can give you an example with the New Jersey State Police, what they do, because I think we should have these boot camp style things where we let people, and we'll pay them something, to really feel the energy of what it's like in a dental office. And after 2 weeks, say, do you think this is right for you? Because I think a lot of people from the outside also have no idea what it feels like behind the scenes.
No idea.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they think, hey, I can buy a dental practice and I know how to take care of it. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever see the greatest? I always say this is one of my things that's a joke, but not a joke. Running a dental practice is like running a dental circus every day where the animals don't try to eat you, just slowly annoy you to death. And I'm one of the ones in there. I'm annoying myself. I'm not out of that, right? So it's like when you watch The Greatest Showman, which is one of our favorite movies. You know, I think people, if you want to buy a dental practice, you should go and hang out with a dental practice owner and be like, this is what it feels like. These are the things I have to do. There's rewards, there's challenges, there's awesome parts, annoying parts. So people kind of see the whole circle or full nacho plate, if you will.
Yeah.
Hey, once again, he did it.
Yeah, ladies.
Well, there's a difference between saying you want to be in dentistry and then what it really feels like to have someone's head in your lap every day, all day long. So I love that. I love that idea of having somebody, of giving people a chance to try it out. So, okay. So what can the individual practice owner do to kind of set themselves apart, do you think, to compete in the market that we have right now? Do you have any
ideas? What do they do? The issue here is that people are leaving, right? Or certain team members are leaving. You're mentioning, which I really haven't heard this before, is kind of let them go. Right. Hey, be okay with them going.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think that's the answer of just letting people go. So
I'll give a practical one and also sort of a conceptual one. Well, one, the practical one, like my dad and your dad, and my dad, he was an amazing dad, amazing mentor, amazing dentist, but he was not a particularly good trainer. So he worked with a dental assistant, and if his dental assistant was out, it was like the world was coming to an end, because he knew you had the pen to hear. So one, practical.
Is your dad Galen Campbell? Because that was my dad. Right.
That generation of dentists, they were amazing. They really, my dad had two jobs. He worked at a shoe store and he was a dentist, right? That was it. He worked at a shoe store in high school and he was a dentist. So a lot of the skill sets you need that is becoming popular now, you know, the Dr. Mark Casas of the world, helping people with extreme ownership by Jocko Willink and all these books, that our dads didn't get that experience. So they weren't good trainers. So one, do some cross training, right? You have your really good goalie, and then cross train. If that goalie is not here on vacation, stand here, let ball hit you in the face to prevent a goal if you need, right? I'm using a funny example, but do some cross training so that you are not so vulnerable, okay? So it doesn't mean you're not gonna be vulnerable at all. So do some cross training of different team members. The second one is, now I'll use this example, is don't go on a date and say you like camping because that's what the person wants to hear. And then 6 months later, you refuse to go camping or you're miserable. So that example is dentists tend to do this thing. I don't know what the word is. They lie.
I don't know what lying.
Yeah, they lie unintentionally. Here at this office, when they sit in the waiting room with no patients, everybody gets along. We give everybody enough time for procedures. We understand. But really, when you come see behind the scenes, it's different than that. So just be genuine and honest and authentic about what happens behind the scenes. Have them come see behind the scenes and say, you know what? We're a PPO office and we believe that we do really good work, but we're more like a Chipotle than a fancy Mexican restaurant. So you're going to be here and we're going to be doing cleanings every 40 minutes. Or on the other side, we're a fancy Mexican restaurant and every hygiene appointment is an hour and 15 minutes. And the hygienists take full mouth x-rays and a hygienist talk about occlusion. So if I said to a hygienist, and we don't do this too much, but if I said to a hygienist, it's important for you to describe occlusal problems, bite challenges. Already, some are going to feel awkward inside and say, this isn't for me. I'm more for the Chipotle office. So both of those environments can run well, but I think you just have to be authentic and use that dating one. You wouldn't say you like camping to someone you're going to marry because you know you're going to be freaking at Yellowstone Park. Now, that's me. I'm not a camper. I'm Jim Gaffigan. I'm an indoorsy person, right? So I just think that
camping cross-train, at
Marriott. Cross-train and be genuine about what it's really like in your office.
Yeah, that's a great, so those are some great, great.
So one thing that's interesting about that comment, oftentimes when we say, hey, how do we fix the problem of anything, right? The answer from multiple people, including myself, really is, well, this is what's going on, so we need to stop and change or fix that issue. What Paul just mentioned here is changing the mindset.
Yeah.
Right. Actually creating a new outcome rather than fixing the problem. The outcome is we want to have the best people working in the dental office. Yeah. Right. And that's what you just answered. I didn't think you'd come with this today, Paul.
Oh, thanks.
That is a really great angle and why we love talking to people about growth in dentistry, because it is so different to so many people. And I love this portion that thanks. It's changing the mindset of who's on your team, not necessarily how to stop people from leaving your office.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, thanks, I appreciate it. I mean, just
yeah, that's awesome.
Value that's actionable is every single time we've done a lot of hiring over this pandemic, we just say to people, we invest in the process, not the outcome. If you're a Sixers fan, that might hit you a different way like me, but trust the process. We say, hey, Katie, so glad you want to be a hygienist here. Seems like I've got a great resume. Before you make a long-term commitment to us, so we make a long-term commitment to you, come and observe for 3 hours in a no agenda way. Just wear your scrubs. We'll make you sign the HIPAA things. You don't tell Mrs. Smith, recognize glaucoma or whatever it is. And you just hang around with the hygienist and you can talk to a hygienist. So you're going to talk to our hygienist who happened right now to be Dahi, Devin, Ariel, and they're going to tell you what it's like. And you're then going to say at the end of that, I want to keep moving forward with working for you, or this isn't the place for me. We've done that with assistants, front desk, associate dentists, very important. So if people just did that, they just paused and said, hang out for 3 hours. If you pay them $30 an hour if you want, pay them $20 an hour. A lot of times I would ask, if I'm giving some advice, don't even ask to be paid, because you don't even want to create that relationship yet. Just say, hey, come for 3 hours, see what happens, don't clean any teeth. And I believe that that will really help people make better hiring decisions and also better jobs to pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because a lot of times after you've hired them, maybe you didn't spend that time. It's for some reason really hard for, well, first of all, and I'm making a generalization here, but most dentists are non-confrontational. So once you've hired them, it's 30, you're with 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and you don't want them after 3 days, but you're still 90 days into it. Right. So take the time. I know it feels like you feel like you're understaffed and you're rushed and you have all these patients, but it's going to pay off by taking the time now before you even hire them to make sure that they actually fit in your practice. I love that advice. Yeah. Fabulous advice. So we ask the same question to every guest.
Everyone, get ready.
Yep. And the growth, because growth is personal to everyone. So what does growth in dentistry look like to Paul Goodman?
So to me, it was a mindset shift for me with the pandemic. So while I try to be a well-rounded person, I'm still a dentist at heart. I'm still a high achiever. So I think our practice has to produce more. Our practice has to profit more. We need to buy more practice. We need to do more, more, more. But when the pandemic happened in March of 2020, I made a commitment with my brother for us to care just about our own, as much about our own morale as money. So growth to me right now is for everybody who works in that dental office, especially the dentist who owns it. Because the dentist, having a dental practice, like having a 3-year-old child that never grows up. I got a 3-year-old child in my house. Some of it's great. Some of it is not so great. The great part, they're dressed up like a butterfly for Halloween. Look how cute. Not so great part, tyrant in your home won't let you watch anything but Peppa Pig. How many Peppa Pig episodes can you watch?
Oh my gosh.
So back to this is to say, growth to me looks like the dentist sitting down with their team, but especially themselves, say, what is going to make my morale feel better when I walk into this office, unrelated to my profitability? And oftentimes that is going to take a short-term dip in your profitability and you'll be happier. So I think that it's just kind of reframing what growth looks like to make sure you want to show up in the office. It's a place you want to walk into. And to me, it was just a really good time to reframe and recenter a bit during this pandemic.
Way to be really in tune, because burnout, and I hope people take note of that, because, you know, people, we did a burnout campaign here at Dental Intel that got over 600 comments on an ad on burnout, and like people are feeling that. And so if you feel like you've been so focused on profitability and you're not happy, maybe now's the time to switch it up and feel more.
What growth in dentistry means to Paul Goodman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Well, sure. It's been really great. This has been Growth in Dentistry, a Dental Intelligence podcast. Special thanks to our guest, Dr. Paul Goodman. You can find him by texting DREAMS to 215-543-6454 for personal coaching with Paul. That's the number you can text. And then texting JOIN to 215-543-6454 to follow Dental Nachos.
That number will be below as well?
Yeah, it'll be below and in our show notes. So you can find those links to that and other great information on our webpage at dentalintel.com. Thank you again to Curtis Marshall.
Anytime.
Love that you have here, my friend. And thanks to our marketing department for all their work on this podcast. My name is Katie Polson. Keep growing.